Let's go fishing. You're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing Show every week, Thursday from 7:06 p.m. to 8. Welcome aboard the Let's Go Fishing Show. If you're planning on going this weekend, it's a great weekend to go fishing. I think almost every weekend is, but the weather's just been exceptional. So I got a feeling this is an even better weekend than normal to go fishing. So whether it's tomorrow, the next day, or Sunday, welcome aboard the Let's Go Fishing Show with Mike Baxter, your host, and Alan Bushnell every week. Alan, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Mike. I'm happy to be here, and I can't wait to talk about what happened last week and conjecture on what's going to go on this weekend.
That's right. You're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing Show, KSCO 1080, KOMY 1340, and stream live over the internet at w.ksco, also archived at Ship to Shore Radio and sportfishingreport.com. Proud to be there. Glad to be there. What is going to happen on tonight's show? Well, for one, we hope to entertain you and keep you informed about fishing in the greater area. A lot of emphasis on the coast and Monterey Bay this week. There's been fantastic fishing up north in the northern end of the state this year in the ocean, so we'll recap on that. There's some closures, Eureka and Fort Bragg now, as they go to protect some of those Klamath River fish that are reaching maturity, so we'll talk more about that issue. Rockfish opener started the first of the month, July 1st, and that's been just a, as I usually say, a real crowd pleaser with a lot of big bags and better limits than we've had in previous years. We can fish out to 180 feet of water, so that's progressing better. Halibut's still kind of a hit or miss thing. The guys that are really on the bite have been getting a few halibut here locally. Striped bass, hopefully we'll extract some information from Alan Bushnell himself and find out what the Secret Society of Striper Fishermen have been up to here locally. I hear rumors from Capitola, so we'll find out about that. Freshwater report, we'll check up in the greater Shasta area, some of the tributaries to Shasta as far as trout fishing goes. The snow melt's finally starting to reduce those flows, and people that enjoy that type of fishing have some opportunities now. Upper Sacramento River as well. Trout fishing there, we'll touch on that. Feather River, and we'll follow that watershed down into the bay. Alan will give us some information about stripers and halibut in the bay, as well as salmon in the outer waters for the San Francisco fleet. Hopefully we'll check in with Dennis Baxter, possibly, from Half Moon Bay. What are a couple other names from charter boat captains or professionals along the coast we might hear from tonight, Alan?
Well, up in Fort Bragg, Randy Thornton's going to check in with us, and while he can't be salmon fishing this week because of the closure, I hear that the rock fishing is really, really good up there. And they have to wait a week or so before they can get back on the salmon. So he's going to fill us in on what's going on up there. And hopefully Dennis will be able to tell us what's going on in that stretch between Half Moon Bay and San Francisco and maybe even up around the corner towards Duxbury. I think he listens to those fellows on the radio.
All right, and I'm looking forward to further down the coast as we work our way down. Alan, myself, maybe we'll get a call from Todd Frazier or one of the local charter boat guys from Monterey Bay, fill us in on what's going on in Monterey Bay. Some hog salmon, real trophies, some Tai-sized salmon right here in Monterey Bay. We'll touch on that, and then we'll work our way south and check in with Chad Woods. And hopefully we hear from Senior Tuna, who got back from a 4- or 5-day trip aboard the Searcher, I believe. And we'll find out how that trip was for him and what he's got for future plans. So a great show. If you've been out fishing yourself, please give us a call. We always need freshwater reports. So if you've been out, please call us, 479-1080. 477-1340, and please share with the group. No one of us knows more than all of us, so if you've been out lately, especially freshwater, give us a shout. Where'd you go, how deep, what color, and what'd you catch? And we'd love to have the call. Now, before we go into the first break, which we typically do right now, I know Senior Tuna, I touched in with him earlier. He just got back from San Diego aboard the Searcher, a multi-day trip there. And I think he's heading down to the Bay Area. So before he left town, I wanted to get a call from him. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, doing great, Mike.
Fill us in. I mean, last time we talked to you, I think 2 weeks ago, you were heading on the Searcher for one of your trips there. Now, was that the Penn Fishing University trip?
Yeah, that was a Penn Fishing University trip. The Searcher, we kind of slid in between the bites. You know, it was a pick. You had to fish. You had to have that fluorocarbon leader. You had to have that lively bait. But, you know, but if you did, there were still definitely fish to be caught. It was quality fish. A nice mixture, albacore, bluefin, yellowfin, and yellowtail, even a couple Dorado. And everything was between 20 and 50 pounds. There were no little ones. So, you know, it wasn't red hot, you know, boiling in the corner type action, but it was quality fishing nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like quality, not quantity. Big fish. Now, what was the jackpot for the trip, Steve?
Jackpot fish was a 48-pound yellowfin.
Wow, that's.
And we had a lot of bluefin, between 30 and 40. And you won't like hearing this. Of course, it was San Diego now, but you won't like hearing this. But every albacore we caught was over 35 pounds.
Really?
It was all the big dogs.
How many albacore did you catch?
We caught about 40.
Okay. Now, I saw on the landing reports, Alan was kind enough to print out for us. It looks like Seaforth there in San Diego, Seaforth Landing or Seaforth Sport Fishing had 138 albacore in their counts, which I thought was surprising. The San Diego boats had less, so maybe there's a few fish kind of moving this way.
Well, there's one very small area of fish at about 70 miles, and, you know, it's good news if you're on it, but it's a very small area. There's no fish leading up to it. You don't catch anything till you get to it, which means that if the conditions change in that one little spot, as you well know, those fish are most likely just going to vanish. And the boats that are getting on it are getting between 20 and about 70 fish per day. And they're a little smaller grade than what we were catching. That spot popped up just in the last two, 3 days.
Okay. And how about prizes? Did you have a lot of great prizes for the fishing trip?
We did have a lot of prizes. Plus, we sort of debuted for the world the new Pantorque reels, which... For the best way I can describe them is that they're Star Drag Internationals. The ones that we had were the 300s, which is about a 3.0 size. They are just absolutely awesome. You know, they're a great 40-pound live bait reels for down there. Up here, they'll be excellent for everything from trolling for albacore. They even have so much cranking power, they'll even be all right for, you know, for ball trolling for salmon. Because, you know, when it comes time to crank that ball up when you don't get bit, the huge gearing is just going to make that ball come right up. They're really awesome reels. They're technically going to be debuted at the ICAST show in Vegas next week. So unfortunately, I will not be on the show next week because I'll be in Vegas at that International Fishing Tackle Convention.
All right. Well, fantastic. You kind of got us going on that new reel, especially.
Yes, Steve. This is Alan, and Mike and I are both looking at each other with unspoken communication, agreeing that we should probably get a couple of those down here for us to kind of test pilot for you.
Well, you know, depends. There's two more sizes coming. There's a 200, which is going to be the 2.0 size, and a 100, which will be a wonderful little live bait size. All of them are going to be awesome. Yeah, you know what?
We'll take one of each, Steve.
You have to hang out with me more often, and, you know, the possibilities increase.
So what are you up to now, Steve? I know you're heading out. I think you've got a Bay Area trip planned. I'm real excited for that.
Yeah, we're going to do kind of a combination potluck trip tomorrow on board the California Dawn with Captain James Smith. And, you know, we're going to do a little halibut and stripers on the morning tide and then shoot outside and try to catch some big lings on these new reels. So should be a pretty productive day.
All right. And is this a Penn Fishing University trip also?
Absolutely.
Great. Well, I hope you have a great trip. Say hi to all the guys and fill us in. We got to get a firsthand report from the Bay Area from you next week.
I will. And you really want to hear what you really want to hear about is going to be all the new amazing products at that ICAST show in Las Vegas. That's going to be the big deal for all fishermen.
Yeah, this is going to be an exception to the rule. What stays in Vegas, or what happens in Vegas stays there. This is an exception. You're going to have to fill us in.
You bet.
All right, Steve. Thanks for the call. Have a safe trip and great fishing to you and the guys tomorrow in the Bay Area.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Have a good night.
Good night, Steve.
And we got more Fish Talk Radio for you, the Let's Go Fishing Show, coming up, and we're going to check in again. Roger Keeling, Eagle Lake. Should we tell him, Alan? I think it's really good.
Well, that's what I heard too, Mike. The fish are, quote unquote, they're a lot bigger than they were when you were here.
Yeah, they're really biting. You should have been here this week, but we'll fill you guys in. Eagle Lake, really good reports there. Randy Thornton, Fort Bragg, what's going on with the salmon there, closures, the fish bite. And hopefully Dennis Baxter from Half Moon Bay, as well as any other callers. Again, if you've been out, whether it's locally Monterey Bay, we could use a report from Monterey Bay, or local freshwater, give us a call, 479-1080 or 477-1340. Don't touch the dial. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. After 25 years of excellent customer service in our community, Dave Dawson is now working as a realtor with Bailey Properties. Dave's success is a combination of his local knowledge and his ability to produce results and please his clients. If you or anyone you know is considering buying or selling any real estate, you need to call Dave Dawson at 901-2856. That's Dave Dawson at Bailey Properties, 901-2856. You know, hiring a contractor to do your home improvement is like fishing. Sometimes, well, most of the time, you never know what you're going to get. When it comes to your roof, Warren Knox at Knox Roofing wants you know what you're going to get, and that's a roof worth keeping. Knox Roofing takes pride in their work, and that's why they're the most chosen roofing contractor in the area. Give Knox Roofing a call in Santa Cruz, 461-0634. In Monterey, 831-394-0110, or check them out at knoxroofing.com. Bayside Marine, a complete tackle store. Up-to-the-minute reports from local fishermen. The finest tackle from sports to commercial gear. CalStar, Shimano, Lamaglass, Penn, from long-range Mexico gear to the hottest salmon gear of the Northwest. Bayside Marine has it all. Call the hotline at 464-3474. Remember, we're on the web at BaysideMarineSC.com or call the shop at 475-2173. Stop by on your way to the boat ramp. Pick up your ice, food, beer, bait, and tackle. Then say hi to Todd and get the latest scoop. Remember, we're Bayside Marine. Give us a call at 475-2173. A part of our community, a part of culture, the Santa Cruz Harbor, with a brand new launch ramp, a great washdown and fish cleaning facilities. Sport fishermen call this protected port haven. The Santa Cruz Harbor is ideal for all boaters with berthing and end ties. Find rigging, tackle, charters, and great restaurants in the harbor. With full hookups, you can bring your RV and even take a scenic stroll around the harbor. The Santa Cruz Harbor welcomes you.
You may be spending money on insurance right now. Do you know what your auto liability limits are? Is your home covered for full reconstruction costs? Do you know how affordable a renter's policy or life insurance can be when they are packaged with other farmers' policies? If you haven't talked to your agent lately and you would like a friendly consultation with me, Mike Baxter, call 831-588-9577. Farmers' rates are very competitive. For a quote, call Mike Baxter, 831-588-9577, or contact me through the Let's Go Fishing Radio Show website, www.theletsgofishingradioshow.com. Mike Baxter, 831-588-9577.
You know how to put money into your IRA, but do you know how to take it out? Do you know the smartest way to withdraw money at 55 or even 45? And how will the new rules affect your required minimum distributions? To see how Smith Barney can help you navigate the complicated tax laws regarding IRAs, call P. Middlecoff, financial consultant at 479-5100. That's 479-5100 for Pete Middlecoff. Citigroup Global Markets Incorporated, member SIPC. Smith Barney is a division of Citigroup Global Markets Incorporated and does not provide tax advice. Consult your tax advisor for guidance.
Let's go fishing. You're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing Show. Your hosts, Mike Baxter and Alan Bushnell, here every Thursday from 7:06 to 8 p.m. That's right. We're proud to be sportsmen. We really want to project the fact that sportsmen, fishermen do care about the resource out there. And in a lot of ways, fishermen really care about fish even more than other groups. So we're here to try to respect that and let people know what's going on as far as regulations or even just the activity of fishing. Take a kid fishing. It's an event that they'll never forget, whether it's off the wharf, Westlake Pond right here locally, a local lake. There's tons of places. You'd be surprised, boy. The kids really have a good time. I know I took my kids this week to the Santa Cruz Wharf. They caught some jack smelt, some mackerel. Some of the neighbors came. Just really good fun. The seals are there, birds. It's just a good interaction with nature. Let them go, keep them, whatever you decide. But even just going to the municipal wharf is a great spot to go. Capitola has been kicking out a couple halibuts and stripers right off the wharf. So we're proud to be here. Again, no one knows more than all of us. So if you have been out lately, give us a call, 479-1080. Or if you have a question, like I always say, if we can't answer it, we'll make something up. So feel free, give us a call, share with the group. You're tuned in to the Let's Go Fishing Show, KSCO 1080, KOMY 1340, and a fine weekend to get out there. Now, as far as the weather goes, a high pressure persists. Boy, it's a typical summer pattern, at least early to mid-summer pattern, where there's a high pressure on the eastern Pacific. There's a low pressure on the southwest desert there from a thermal low. That inland heat really creates that thermal low. And when you've got the difference in temperatures and pressures, you definitely get winds. So northwest winds are going to persist. However, this weekend, they're going to back off a little bit in the bays. Glad to be here, part of Monterey Bay, where there's going to be some protection Saturday and Sunday. The northwest winds won't be quite as strong, but look for those white caps in the afternoon if you got a smaller boat or a difficult heading to head back into port. Keep an eye on that and get in there. But the nice thing right now is you can shoot out for salmon, especially in Santa Cruz, Soquel Hole, or shoot down towards Mulligan Hill, Monterey, or the south side of the bay has been kind of the hot spot at Soldiers Club where there's been some real nice salmon caught. But if you do make that run from across the bay from Santa Cruz, be ready when you see those white caps to kind of make the run back in. But the nice thing, kind of a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow there, there's always inshore rockfish to be caught, which has been real good. The season opened up here at the beginning of the month, as well as some halibut. So give it a try just for the halibut. You never know what you'll catch. So good news. Same with the bay area. If you shoot out there outside the bay, you're going to have to head up north, Point Reyes area, to find a fish rod type fishing. But you could do that in the mornings and head back into the bay for some stripers or halibut inside the bay. What I've been really curious of is some of the regulation changes. Now, we checked in with the guys from Eureka in the past weeks, and they've had really good fishing there. And we've had great reports from Fort Bragg. I believe there's some closures coming up. So what we were hoping to do is check in with Randy Thornton from Telstar Charters right there in Fort Bragg and find out from the source what's really going on. Randy, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, Mike. How you doing?
Doing good. Like I said, the reports have been from just fantastic jealous-type salmon fishing and crabbing and just all kinds of stuff up there this year. We thought we'd see what's going on right now in Fort Bragg.
Well, right now we're dealing with some of our salmon closures, so we're rock fishing, and it's pretty much a wide-open bite, you know, just about as quick as you can catch them. And I'm fishing light tackle, which I fish shallow water, so it's nice because the fish don't die. We do a lot of catch and release and be picky with the size and stuff like that. However, most of the lingcod have been caught a little bit deeper than what I've been fishing. Well, today we had about a half of the lingcod for 10 people and lost a few like that. But a lot more lingcod, just a little bit outside of me is all. I'm fishing out to about 80 feet deepest. And from about 110 to 160, there's a lot of lingcod. Nothing real big. I fished out there yesterday, and we had a limited lingcod for 7 people, 14 lings, and the biggest about 12 pounds. So, you know, real nice fish that certainly fills the bag up, and some nice reds and nice coppers. So on the inside waters, we're getting a lot of blues and quite a few vermilions. Had 11-pound capazone the other day, and a good variety of China cod, gophers, and stuff like that, yellowtail, rockfish, stuff like that. It's been all around just great fish, just really great.
And how's the weather been? You're fishing so close to shore, the weather's not a big factor, is it?
Well, it certainly can be. I mean, that's one of the nice things. We did get pushed out to 30 fathoms, which is 180 feet of water. So that's nice because there are times throughout different times of the year when we have a pretty good ground swell coming in, and it makes it difficult because sometimes, you know, 90 feet of water is not very far from the rocks at all. And so it's not only is it difficult to get the boat in that close, but it's sometimes it can have a major effect on the fish, and sometimes that's not in a positive way. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it'll, you know, push into deeper water or hug the bottom. So it's nice because, you know, we do get pushed to deeper waters for, like I say, other times of the year. But right now the ocean has been just flat. There's a bit of a swell this afternoon. Yesterday just greasy flat. You sure wishing the diving was open, which is not.
Yeah.
But it's just flat, clear water. The fish are coming up to the boat, just big schools of big fish. It's been great. So, and we ended the week last week. During the week, the salmon fishing was hot, big fish, some of the best fishing I've seen here this year. It kind of slowed down for the weekend, unfortunately, because everybody was looking forward to it, the big crowds, you know. But But it was great last week, and I anticipate some good fishing here this weekend as well. Salmon opens back up. And the water's cool, it's brown, there's good bait, so I certainly anticipate some good action with the salmon for the weekend.
So, Randy, could you give us a quick summary as far as salmon regulations? When does it open back up, and what should we look forward to as the season comes?
Well, what's happening now is tomorrow, of course, it's closed. It opens for this weekend, then it closes for 5 days, Monday through Friday. Then it opens next weekend. Then it closes Monday and Tuesday, and then it's open for the rest of the regular season.
Okay. Easy enough. So you got the next 2 weekends coming up, and then a Monday, Tuesday will be closed, it sounded like, and then after that it's open up till the late season.
Till we run out of fish. Basically.
Okay. Yeah. Well, very good. Yeah, I always forget to mention abalone season's closed.
August 1st.
Yeah, there you go. So don't go up there. It's easy to forget, but the month of July ab diving is closed, so don't make that mistake. And
the diving's still open. You can still spear fish and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I failed to call last week. I apologize for that, but I was going to mention our Northern California Fishermen's Association that we're organizing here, and right now on my dock we're having a banquet and a benefit party. And we've got maybe 60 or 70 people here, barbecue chicken up, and we're having raffles right now, giving away prizes and stuff like that. It's turned into a good association, so if anybody there is interested. We don't have a website yet, but we're working on that. So you can certainly call Telstar Charters and get info on it if you need.
Yeah, you've got all of our support. You know that. So say hi to the guys and keep us posted on more information in regards to that. A quick one last question I got to ask. There was rumors, I think 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago at the most, of a few guys that ran out of Fort Bragg and maybe caught some bluefin, a couple albacore. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did. I didn't hear anything direct from those sources. But they came through reliable sources. 17 miles out, I heard of one boat had 14 fish on it. And earlier today, I heard on that same day, another boat had 21 albacore. And I didn't really have anything confirmed on the bluefin. So I'm not really sure what happened there.
Okay, so
I think I would have hit pretty big here, but I didn't mean it didn't happen. I've been really busy the last 2 weeks, my own boat, my own business. So.
Yeah.
Haven't really had my ear other than just in my own business here trying to catch fish and rip lips. That's fun, you know?
Yeah, it's that time of the year. In regards to that, if you're heading to Fort Bragg visiting, give Randy a call again. Telstar Charters, Fort Bragg. Give us some contact information, Randy.
Okay, it's 707-964-8770, or you can email me or check out my website at www.gooceanfishing.com.
All right. Thanks, Randy. Good job getting the organization together. Say hi to the guys. Have a great weekend.
You bet your mic. Thanks.
Catch a big one.
All right, man.
Okay. Always good to check in with him, and it's good to hear fishermen getting together to support each other and to be active in regards to managing our resource. And that's a lot of the problems we're looking at is it's not that we don't value those fish out there. It's that we do want to be proactive and make sure that they are managed correctly. A lot of times, anytime you hear about an emergency closure, I'm the first one that says, well, how did we get into this crisis? You know, what did we do wrong? And I say we, not just someone else, but, you know, I need to participate as well. And what did we do wrong? And are the actuarial numbers or statistics right when they're doing these fish counts? But all the support to those guys in Fort Bragg, California. Alan.
Mike.
I mean, I hate to go right to it, but I saw the Sentinel today. Your name came up quite a few times. There was kayaking, and there was Alan Bushnell, and there was rockfish. Tell me more.
Oh, yeah, that's a great combo. Well, you know, I write the weekly fish report for the Santa Cruz Sentinel. It comes out on Thursday mornings. And the editor, the person who edits my report each week, a woman named Julie Jagg, has been after me for a couple of years to get out fishing on the kayaks. And we finally got our schedules together, and I brought her out on a pretty nasty day up at Davenport Landing last Monday. We did get out. We did get some fish. We came in kind of early because the conditions, frankly, Mike, were pretty horrible. Four-foot wind swell, chop, windy, cold, white caps at 7:30 in the morning. But despite all that, it was a real fun trip. It was fantastic to get her out there. She had never been on a kayak before in the ocean and had never caught a fish in the ocean before, so we broke some new territory for her, and she was stoked, and she wrote a real nice story that was in the Sentinel today in the sports section. So
right,
I was kind of tickled about that.
It's always good to see a fish story, especially when it starts on the front page. Now, I got to ask, because I'm that kind of a fisherman, did she keep the fish and eat it, and how'd that go?
Oh, yeah, she definitely she had a nice, about an 18-inch red, and I got a pretty good-sized blue rockfish. I filleted them up there right on the steps at Davenport Landing and put the fillets in a bag and gave it to her with the recipe, which is, you know, the famous flour, egg, and Progresso Italian breadcrumb recipe. And she cooked it up for lunch that day, you know, so,
all right.
Yeah, she did real well.
All right, so you didn't try Grandma's recipe with the potato spuds on top there.
That's kind of the next level of cooking, I think, Mike. You know, we'll start them off with the breadcrumbs.
You don't want to give them all the secrets on the first trip.
Not all at once.
Right,
yeah.
On. Well, kudos to you guys, and good job. It's great to see that. So it looked like a vermilion. You mentioned a red, but it's a vermilion rockfish.
Vermilion rockfish,
and did you guys encounter any of the sacred canaries that we all, in part of being fishermen out there, really need to be careful? Did you encounter any canaries?
Yeah, we caught a couple other small blues, and I did bring a canary up, Mike, and I was real grateful. I mean, I know my rockfish, I think. But it was real nice that we had discussed it last week on the radio show, because what I paid attention to, this canary was very red. It wasn't an orangey-looking canary. It was a real red-looking canary, and it was that gray lateral line that made my decision for me. I was not quite sure, but I looked at that line. I said, you know, if I'm not sure, I'm going to let this fish go. And he was caught in 40 feet of water, so there was no barrow trauma or anything. He swam right away. And, you know, I hated to see those two fillets swim away, but it's much better than losing our fishing season, you know?
For sure. Yeah, there was a negative incident in Half Moon Bay where I think a guy had six fish brought in, I think Dennis Baxter reported, so be careful of that. You know, just check an ID chart. I know we had a tip that Coastside Fishing Club had some nice ID charts. You can go to the dfg.ca.gov. There you go. That's why I'm glad you're here, Alan. But you can go there. It's easier. Just do a Google search online regulations, and I looked around it last night. There's a chart. I've found that the canaries do, like you said, Alan, have a distinctive discoloration on the lateral line, which is usually a lighter color between white and gray, where the vermilions will continue to have the reddish, gray, blotchy, ununiform colorations on their side in the area of the lateral line, where the canary will have a separate lateral line color. And the lateral line is not perfectly straight. It seems to have a little bit of a shoulder notch where it comes mm-hmm. down to the midsection of the body, and then it lines out and points towards the tail. And that distinct line will start to fade as you get midway through the fish, even towards the tail. So if it's orangish-red, and there's a distinct discoloration on the lateral line, which is a key point, it makes me think of the cohos, and I'm just going to mention it right now, that I think a lot of people always say, look for the white mouth in a coho. But that's really misleading. What you want to look for is a distinct line of different colors along the gums. And if you need to, walk in front of the mirror in the bathroom and look at where your gums are. Your gums are not your lips, your tongue, your mouth. Your gums are the tissue that borders your teeth. Okay. And if you catch a coho and you're not sure, there is a gum line, which is on, obviously, both sides of the teeth. And what that gum line does on the coho is it's a distinct different color. It's not necessarily white, but it's a distinct line of two different colors, which a Chinook salmon does not have a distinct different colored gum line. So there you have it. Sorry, but I had to just get that out.
Yeah, that's good, Mike, because, you know, on the radio when I'm out fishing, every day now I'm hearing guys calling it. They got $30,000 boats, and they're out there fishing all the time, and they're on the radio, well, how do you tell what a silver is? And, you know, they get a lot of help, you know, because the anglers out there do care about it. But, you know, it's best to go out prepared.
You know what I always worry about? I always wanted to catch an Eagle Lake rainbow trout, and I don't think I've ever caught one. And if I went out there and I caught an Eagle Lake rainbow trout, I don't think I'd know what they look like.
Oh, yes, you would, Mike.
You think Roger Keeling would know how to identify an Eagle Lake rainbow?
I think he could do it in an instant.
I bet he could do it while he's singing. Roger, how you doing tonight?
Semi-perfect.
Really? You'd be even better if, I don't know, if what?
Having a little allergy problems, Mike, but I'm doing pretty good. we got some real good fishing going on up here. You were just talking about it, Eagle Lake. And, had four ladies up there this morning, was through at 7 o'clock. We started with three doubles in a row, and so it's really going good up there.
Now, Roger, I'm sorry, but we razzed each other a little bit here, as you can tell. Do you think the fishing's better, or the ladies just were better at it than Alan was?
Yeah, they were definitely a lot better looking.
Oh, poor guy. He is so helpful here, too, and we just beat up on him. Tell us about the great fish, and I'm excited to hear about it. Sounds like good-sized fish also.
Yeah, they are. I had a party last week. They had 2 days booked. They did so well, they booked a third day. Then they booked a fourth day, but they won their fourth day on Almanor. We did all right on Almanor, but it's not real peaceful, and it's mainly pretty bad with water sports after 10 o'clock. And where Eagle's real quiet, and it's almost all fishermen up there. And it usually gets kind of busy at Eagle starting around the 1st of August, but pretty well driving in and launching without any problems, and it's been that way since 4th of July weekend, really quiet up there. And the quality of fish just seems to be getting better and better. It's just really good. Look like big chrome steelhead.
Really? I finally got to see the pictures Alan brought from his trip, and I was surprised. I mean, the shoreline just looks so much prettier than I thought. There's a lot. It's tree-lined shoreline, and the trout were just, you know, most fish pictures, the fish really kind of shrinks. I'm always one that holds the fish way out in front of me to make it bigger. But these were just big, fat, beautiful trout that looked every bit of, you know, 3 pounds.
I'm going to honestly tell you, those weren't even close to the grade of fish we're getting now. It is, I mean, it's getting better and better. We were in taking pictures at 7 o'clock this morning, and the women were kind of getting a kick out of the pelicans and everything coming in where I clean fish, and the golden eagle come right in over us and set in a tree 20 foot above us. With one of the ladies was trying to feed it a rib section I cut out of the fillets, and the gulls kept coming in grabbing it before the golden eagle could get it. But anyway, it's really nice up there, real quiet. I don't think there's a lake in California that'll touch Eagle Lake right now for quantity and quality.
I'm mentally packing my bags right now, Roger. Well, this isn't good.
Yeah. It's almost too fast, though. But I had the men out of the same group. There's a large group that's staying in a vacation rental. It took us till 9-something the other day. The women, like I say, hooked and landed three doubles in a row, which kind of helped this morning. And, but I'll tell you, these fish are hot. A lot of them are going clear down into the backing. And had a lady 2 days ago, she was wanting to screw that drag down. She couldn't stand to see them taking a line, and lost two exceptional fish doing that before I finally explained to her how that drag works, and it just takes some time and finesse.
Now, Roger, this is Alan. You're fishing pretty deep for those Eagle Lake trout right now, aren't you?
Well, we're getting hit some on top on the downrigger line before we even drop it, but basically a lot of fish are holding at 24 to 36 right now, but they're occasionally, I'm starting to see little balls of two-inch minnows. Anytime there's a little weed or something on top, it's kind of like minnows will, you know, get under a piece of plywood or a log down in Cabell, or you know, it's anywhere there's a little shade, these little two-inch minnow balls are hanging out, and they're starting to come up for those. And we've also got a caddis hatch and a calabatus hatch, and the fish are in active coming out of the comfort zone up into where the minnows are, more on the surface or the hatches, and they come up and feed a little bit, then go back down into the comfort zone. Anything that runs by them during that period, they're kind of excited in a feeding mode. And,
can you share with us your secret lure that you're using right
I'm
now?
I'm just throwing a piece of Nightcrawler by itself, and not too big a piece at that, and using the Mike's Glow Scent Earthworm Flavor oil on them. That's about all I'm doing right now.
That's a good secret.
As mental schools get a little more start seeing more of the minnow schools, and we will start trolling a little more on the surface with lures. And when you were here, Alan, the fish still weren't, there was still a lot of shallow fish and some surfacing, but basically the fish are deeper now, except when they're coming up for short periods of time. So anyway, as the water cools a little more in a few weeks, and we'll do a little more surface trolling with lures, and Rapallos will work, and some different needlefish patterns. And,
you know. Well, we sure appreciate you checking in with us. That's exciting news, Roger. Are you all booked up now for your trout season, or do you have any?
I got occasional openings, but pretty well sucked in for July. Quite a few people that I've fished in the last 2 weeks are talking about coming back in August. I still have some openings in August. And, okay. Antelope Lake, in case anyone's interested in it, they had a pretty bad fire up there. It went from the day use area to right into the ramp. They do have the campgrounds are reopened, and you can launch car top boats, but we can't get into the ramp right now to launch big boats. They're getting rid of some dangerous trees that burned, and I guess some fell across the road, even there was a lightning fire up there. So that's, I have a lot of family groups that like to do that, but we're basically doing Eagle Lake right now.
Yeah, hopefully you might wind up being at Eagle Lake a lot of this year. I get the feeling it's, you know, a little further. People just aren't wanting to drive with the fuel prices. Well, I think a lot of us have just dreamt about fishing Eagle Lake for years, and it's, you know, it might cost a couple dollars more in fuel, but this might be a great year to go there with lack of crowds and people just not really getting out to those distant spots.
And then a new project they started up there last year, we're starting to see the effects of, I think it's called Project Eagle Lake Trout. I donated a trip to it. They had a raffle up there July 4th, and the people that got my trip, I'll have next week, I think the 21st. And anyway, they are holding fish in separate holdings, kind of like a net pen project, but they're holding them to a larger size before they release them. And it's just, I'd have to say that the size average has gone up probably 60%, I would say. And we noticed it quite a bit last year and more so this year.
All right.
So that's helping a lot. Plus, finally got a better winter up there. The lake level come up 4 to 5 foot. We don't have the oxygen problem. And so far, anyway, we did have some warmer weather coming this weekend. Looks like maybe in the high 90s again, but the whole system is in a lot better shape than it has been for 3 years.
That sounds good. Well, Roger, I got to get into a break here, but I sure appreciate the report. And say hi to your dog, Chester. Give us some contact information. If you guys want to get up there and get some of these trout, try to get a spot with Roger, and he'll be back down on the Sacramento in the area of Bend for the fall or late fall run salmon also. So give us some phone numbers there, Roger.
530-284-6429.
All right. Thanks a lot. And you know what we're going to do, hopefully, is get into a quick break here. And we're going to get Chris Spencer back on the board for us and get us into a break. He's running now. And when we get back, though, really important, Chad Woods, our main man from Southern California, is going to fill us in on what's going on. I hear rumors of halibut, white sea bass, you name it. If anybody knows what's going on the South Coast beat as far as fishing goes, Chad Woods, sportfishingreport.com. He's going to be right back with us after the break, and we're going to find out what's really going on in the warm waters of Southern California and Northern Baja. Don't touch the dial. We'll be right back.
Put Lake Nacimiento Resort on your list this year. For a fun-filled family destination that has something for everyone, including 6 campgrounds.
Ooh, that smells good.
From walk-ins to full RV hookups, visit Lake Nacimiento Resort. If roughing it's not your style, nestle into one of the Lakeview lodges.
Ooh, this place is nice.
And make sure to check the menu at the Lakeshore Cafe. With 165 miles of shoreline, it's easy to find a private spot to fish. The resort marina also has a full line of boat rentals, from fishing skiffs to ski boats for even more family fun. For reservations and information, call 800-323-3839 extension 2 or check the website at www.nacimientoresort.com.
Feeling stressed? Why not get away from it all? Imagine the beauty of nature, the sounds of silence. Go fishing.
Son, isn't this wonderful? No neighbors, no phones, no TV.
Dad, how many kinds of fish are there?
Hundreds, maybe thousands. I don't know exactly.
Thousands? That's a lot of fish.
Well, let's just see if we can catch one or two today.
Fishing with a family can yield memories that will last a lifetime. With the gear available today, fishing is easy. An outdoor world has waders and waterproof boots to keep you dry, tackle boxes, fishing vests, and carrying cases to keep your gear handy, reels, and just the right bait to make a difference. At Outdoor World, you'll find everything you need except for the fish. Outdoor World on 41st Avenue in Capitola, on Front Street in Santa Cruz, and on North Fremont Street in Monterey. See our weekly ad in the Good Times and the Monterey County Weekly. Outdoor World, when it's time to get away.
Some say the best way to fish Monterey Bay is a small charter or six-pack boat. One thing's for sure, you can't go wrong booking a trip with Real Sport Fishing with Captain Jimmy Charter. Jerry Brooks and Jim Rubin run fast, roomy boats with top-notch gear and the latest electronics. Whether halibut, salmon, or albacore is your prey, Captain Jimmy and Real Sport Fishing get you there quick and maximize your catch. For a custom fishing trip, call Captain Jimmy at 831-662-3020 or Real Sport Fishing at 831-465-0639.
ICOM Marine Products are simply the best. When your safety at sea depends on communication, trust ICOM radios, handhelds, VHF, and single sidebands. ICOM is the leader of the industry. With a full line of VHF radios equipped with digital selective calling, depend on ICOM. Their products are second to none. Find ICOM radios at Johnson Hicks or any fine dealer near you. Check online at www.icomamerica.com. ICOM, simply the best. Central Valley Marine makes your fun serious. With Grady White boats and Yamaha engines, the customer always comes first at Central Valley Marine. Find perfectly crafted Grady White boats outfitted with four-stroke Yamaha outboards at a business with 30 years of experience. Central Valley Marine. Phone 1-800-974-4286. In Campbell on South Bascom, Central Valley Marine, 800-974-4286.
Let's go fishing. You're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing Show. Welcome aboard. Thanks for listening. You know, the show was only made possible by all the sponsors and you guys listening. So really proud to be here. Thanks to everyone at KSCO Radio. And again, you're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing Show, KSCO 1080, KOMY 1340, Ship to Shore Radio, and SportFishingReport.com. Proud to be there. Speaking of sportfishingreport.com, that site has all of the nitty-gritty, and I always love, I mean, as much as I love the site, I love talking to Chad Woods because he gets me so excited. I think the worst thing to do is have him as a report at the end of the show because I get so excited. But, Chad, do it to me anyway. Torture us. What's going on in Southern California?
Well, you know what? Before I talk about that, I have to say I fished on the California Dawn on Tuesday, and we went out to Farallon's, and we had really good rock fishing and lingcod.
Oh, good.
And Captain James Smith, he's a really cool guy. You guys all got to give him a shot. The weather had been blowing, so we finally had a chance to get out there, and the fishing was great. So, unfortunately, Brian, my charter master, was on the island tack on Tuesday, and he got limits of white sea bass at Santa Cruz Island. He went back out on today, got limits of white sea bass. So Santa Cruz is gone. They've had limits for most of the boats in the last 4 or 5 days. Conditions are great. They're squid. They're snagging it. It's steady eddy. And to be honest with you, any of the guys up in Northern California going down to Ventura County, call now, make a reservation. I can pretty much guarantee you that there's going to be solid white sea bass fishing for some time now. They're seeing really good signs, and it's peak time. You know, everybody thinks about catching the sea bass in the spring, but when the fish are going, July and August, in my opinion, are the best months. You get 3 fish per person, and right now the fish are averaging size about 20 pounds. So that's local fleet. For the guys fishing the outer islands, I have no way to describe it as phenomenal. The halibut fishing for the Mirage has been, I call the landings down there, and they talk. They say, yeah, that's what it was like back in the 50s. Joe on the Mirage on Saturday, last Saturday, right after we had the show, he had 23 halibut. He went back out, he got 60 halibut. He had Monday off, he went on Tuesday, he had 64 halibut. Today he's at Santa Rosa Island, 78 white sea bass, 23 halibut. All the halibut are 25 to 40 pounds, and they're nice grade white sea bass. We're talking come home with enough fish to last you all winter.
Oh, man.
What is it, a squid spawn? What's going on?
You know, we always get barn doors at Santa Rosa, and you, when you fish the sea bass, you can expect to see 3-4 of them come up on any given day, and we know that they're there. You know, I've had trips for 12 or 16, you know, where we actually make attempts and we drift for these fish. Well, he's been catching these things on anchor. He's been fishing them like he's fishing sea bass.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of halibut. And, you know, we had good halibut fishing in the bay earlier this year in May, and June kind of fizzled on us, and, you know, they were getting them at Berkeley Flats. Well, you know, those fish swim, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see this halibut bite go for some time. I have a charter group going out on the Mirage on Saturday, so I can give you another update, but as far, like, I talked to Joe personally daily, and he said he's never seen anything like this, and he's been working on boats there. He's about my age. He's about 40, and he's been working on the boat since he was a young kid, and he's never seen halibut fishing like this. And, you know, I had personal friends call me up and say, oh, I got a limit of sea bass and two white, or limit of halibut and two white sea bass, and you know, oh, I got a 40, a 38, and a 37, and two 26s, you know.
So, Chad, tell me, if a guy's thinking, hey, what should we do this weekend? You got time. Tomorrow's Friday. You could call a friend tonight, start planning the trip for this weekend, drive down Friday after work, go fishing. Give us a quick, what do we do? Give us a rundown. Do we
Channel Island Sport Fishing is going to have open party trips. They're probably the only game in town. 805-382-1612. Call right now. Make a reservation. Get in the car. Get on the Seabiscuit.
Okay.
You might be able to get on a Pacific Eagle out of Port Hueneme, but... right now, the...
Give us the landings again, and are they on your site?
Yes, they are. Okay. Click Ventura Coast, and you'll get them. It's Port Hueneme Sport Fishing and Channel Island Sport Fishing.
Okay.
And besides that, if you got another minute for me?
If you make it a fast one.
Okay, fast minute. Albacore erupted on Tuesday down in San Diego. They're getting them on a day and a half, two-day trips. New Loan, Grande, Pacific Dawn, Pacific Queen. These guys are all out there. Yeah, I think it's like the last spurt of albacore because the water temps are really hot. We're starting to see yellowfin and dorado, and I'm sure Senior Tuna touched on that. But I really appreciate you guys letting me be on the show. I'm so happy that I'm part of it, and I look forward to talking to you.
Do you have a
week.
Trip on the Stagnero boat, the Velocity, on the 15th?
I called in this week. I think we're planning it for the Wednesday, the last Wednesday in August. I'm still waiting for confirmation,
okay.
But I want all the listeners to come fish. Personally, I will be on the boat, and we can go out there and have fun together.
All right, Chad Woods, again,
Good
give
enough.
Us the internet site, and thanks for the report.
www.sportfishingreport.com, and for freshwater reports, www.rainbowtrout.com. Stay tuned for our announcement on the float tube tournament, August 12th in June Lake.
All right. Thank you, Chad.
Okay, bye.
All right, have a great weekend. He is the best. He gets me so excited. Well, we got to get going. We got one last break here, so please support the sponsors. Let them know you heard their ads here and they support the show. Get out there. Have fun. Have a great weekend. I hope you catch a bunch of fish, and thanks for tuning into the show. Maybe not. But in any case, get out there, go fishing, and again, thanks for tuning in. You guys have a great weekend.
Let me introduce Live Oak Cafe, a wonderful cafe that specializes in espresso drinks, coffee and tea, as well as their cold beverages and juices. Besides the delicious breakfast burritos and pastries, you have to try the lunch specials, like the lasagna or the enchilada casserole. People rave over it. At Live Oak Cafe, the cakes, cookies and pastries are scrumptious. The care that goes into the food at Live Oak Cafe is what keeps people coming back. In a traffic-free location on the ocean side of Highway 1, Live Oak Cafe is at the corner of Chanticleer and Soquel Avenue. Come by or call the Live Oak Cafe at 475-7757 for lunch orders or takeout. Call 475-7757. Stop by today and say hi to Kathleen and her friendly staff at the Live Oak Cafe.
The Stagnaro family has been serving the Santa Cruz area for over a century. There's something for everyone. Fishing trips, bay cruises, whale watching, and private parties for any occasion. Whichever your choice, today's fourth generation Stagnaros will surely make your trip fun and memorable. And be sure to dine at Gilda's Stagnaro Family Restaurant before or after your ocean adventure. The restaurant is located right across the street from our ticket office on the Santa Cruz Wharf. Call Stagnaro's at 427-2334 for a trip on the bay. Interphase Technologies, a local company with a worldwide market supplying boaters with forward-looking technology. Color Twin Scopes and iScan 180s have phased array technology and give you the opportunity to see a fish or bottom structure around your boat. Horizontal and vertical scanning technology.